Some news now of an event back in 1971 when a sport most associated with basement rec rooms broke the silence between two rival nations.
China lifted the bamboo curtain today long enough to let in 15 American ping pong players for a week of exhibition matches and sightseeing.
That spring, America's top table tennis players unexpectedly became the first Americans to officially enter China in decades. And ping pong diplomacy became the biggest story of the day.
Globe-girdling ambassadors of the paddle, the American table tennis team, talked mild politics with some university students in Peking today. Then they went to gaze upon the Great Wall of China.
Time magazine called it the ping heard round the world. We're looking back on this history-making sports event because today there's a rematch between two of the original Chinese and American players. It's taking place at the Nixon Presidential Library here in Southern California. After all, that 71 match preceded a shining moment for Richard Nixon, his 1972 trip to China, where he shook hands with Chairman Mao. Historian Margaret McMillan has written how Mao got the idea to invite these first Americans. Turns out he was watching the Americans play in a table tennis tournament in Japan.
And when a Chinese player motioned to an American player to come and sit on the team bus because the American player had missed his ride back to the hotel, that was reported back to China, and everyone, I think, was on tenterhooks that Mao would be absolutely furious. And Mao apparently said, no, no, no. He said, that table tennis player, the Chinese table tennis player, is a great diplomat. And then Mao sort of waited for about 2 days. He sat there chain-smoking. Would he invite the Americans to come to China or not? And at the last moment, as the table tennis tournament in Japan was winding down, word came from Beijing, go ahead, invite them.
It's just so fascinating looking back that he would even pay attention. Was he interested in ping pong?
I don't think Mao was that much interested in ping pong. I think it was the timing, really, because the Chinese and the Americans had been moving very, very cautiously to establish contact with each other. The Chinese government, Mao Zedong and his prime minister, Zhou Enlai, were actually exchanging top secret messages with President Richard Nixon and his national security advisor, Henry Kissinger. At the same time, both sides were sending out public signals that maybe they wanted bygones to be bygones. And so the Chinese, for example, stopped describing President Nixon as a blood-sucking capitalist. And President Nixon started referring to the People's Republic of China rather than calling it Red China, which had been the case for quite a long time. So when the Chinese invited the American table tennis team, it was read rightly back in Washington as a sign that the Chinese were really now were prepared to move on mending relations with the United States.
So the upshot of this is that this table tennis team and a couple of journalists became the first Americans to get into China since the revolution.
Pretty much that. I mean, what they found themselves at the center of was a major diplomatic breakthrough, let's say, because suddenly Americans were going to China at the invitation of the Chinese government. A few American journalists were allowed to go with them, and suddenly it became possible for Americans to read in their newspapers and to see on their televisions pictures of the People's Republic of China, which had really been very much closed off to Americans and indeed to a lot of the outside world.
During the day, the Americans had a lunch of sweet and sour carp, meat dumplings, North China steamed bread, rice, fried prawns, cold meat, pork, vegetables, and Chinese soda pop, whatever that is.
What did the Americans, most of them quite young, find when they got to China?
Well, they found a China that had not only been closed off, but a China that was just coming out of the Cultural Revolution. And I think very few people outside China had any idea at the time of just how ghastly that event had been. But since 1966, China had been in anarchy. Now, what they saw in China was a country in which the Maoist policies of extreme equality, for example, were very much still in force. And so women were discouraged from wearing makeup. They had really very simple hairstyles. Pretty much everyone wore the sort of navy blue jackets and pajamas. So there was very little color in the streets and no advertisements in the streets. I mean, nothing that would really look familiar to an American. I mean, the only things that were up were giant pictures of Mao and giant inscriptions of his, sayings of his, which fortunately most of them couldn't read because they tended to be very rude things about people like Americans. Now, the Chinese, for their part, were fascinated by the Americans because some of these table tennis tournaments were shown on television in China. And there was one of the players, a young man at the time called Glenn Cowan, who had long hair.
An American hippie in the land of Confucius and Mao Zedong. Glenn Cowan of Santa Monica, California, in the legendary Middle Kingdom. His entry pass, a talent at table tennis and other sports of the young everywhere.
I talked to a Chinese who was a young person at the time, and she said, we'd never seen anything like it. We were absolutely fascinated by this strange young man with his long hair. Glenn Cowan would appear in leopard skin pants and bright purple sort of long shirts. And there was a young American table tennis player, a woman who wore miniskirts, which, again, the Chinese really hadn't seen before. And so it was a meeting of peoples who were looking at each other as if they were very strange creatures indeed.
How much did this moment, this ping pong diplomacy, how much did it open the door wider for President Richard Nixon himself to go to China?
I think everything that was happening in those crucial months in the first half of 1971 was helping to open the door wider, because what had to be overcome as China and the United States inched cautiously towards each other was that suspicion on both sides. And so it was one, and perhaps one of the more important gestures in a whole series of gestures of goodwill and reassurance that were being made by either side as the two great countries tried to move towards establishing relations again.
Margaret McMillan wrote the book Nixon and Mao, The Week That Changed the World.
Ping pong, ping pong, there goes that Chinese wall, knocked down by a ping pong ball.
Today at the Nixon Presidential Library, a member of the American table tennis team, George Braithwaite, takes on Liang Goliang, one of the original Chinese players, in a rematch.
There goes that Chinese wall, knocked down by a ping pong ball. Well, the president called in the State Department and Henry Kissinger too. He said, I've got to know exactly what it all means. It seems too good to be true. They said it looks like a tiny little hole in the middle of the Chinese wall. So don't underestimate a ping pong paddle and a tiny little ping pong ball.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.